Blog Talk Radio.
Boxing, 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 boxing.
You're tuned into Outsiders Boxing Podcast, where they only gonna give you the realest talking.
Boxing, 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 boxing.
Outsiders Boxing Podcast coming to you live and in full effect on the 22nd of June, this 2020. We're still here. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, some people across the pond. And, hey, we out here, man. We're making it happen as we do regularly and for a long time here now. Shit, as you know, the 2015, some would say self-proclaimed. I say it's general consensus, but Rookie of the Year coming out from the San Joaquin Valley in Central California. Back at it again, man. Oh, man. So I know everybody's getting used to this whole boxing on Tuesday, boxing on Thursday, boxing on Saturday that we had over in Mexico at the, the Azteca television station, I think it was. Yeah, the schedule's a little upside down. The earth is on a different axis as it's been throughout the entirety of 2020, it seems. But for right now, it's good to be back in full effect. It's good to be back here with my guys. And, hey, I'm feeling real good right now. So coming a little later, I don't know if Will is over there muffled a little bit. But, we had some fights throughout the last week. And, you know, there's a whole lot going on. We've seen, a fight get taken off in Pedraza. And we've seen Gabriel Flores Jr. get in there in the main event spot. Hopefully he's doing all right and all that good stuff. We've seen some fights going across down below the border in Mexico, as I mentioned before. And there's been a lot going on. But it can't start off without saying in the times that we're in right now, it's I was glad that not a lot of madness went down that I thought that would go through this this past weekend with the 45th electoral guy that has the orange hair and lives over on the Black Lives Matter Avenue in D.C. With the Juneteenth being Friday, going into the weekend and celebrating the freedom of slavery throughout this history, free-ish, I guess you can put it, to keep it real around here as we always do. But yeah, man, it was a fortunate event that, or a fortunate thing that did not happen this weekend with some of the warnings and restrictions. And I think that orange guy that we're talking about was supposed to have, I think, 100,000 people show up to an event, but only 6,000 did. They had a whole outdoor area for nothing. So funny stuff, man. But it looks like the world that we're pushing towards right now probably might not ever be as normal as we thought normal was, but we're still moving in a positive direction right now. It's not going to happen overnight, as we all know, but there's been a shift, and I'm glad that myself and others will be on the right side of history when this is looked back on, 20, 30, 50, 60 years down the road back then. You might catch old Uncle RC 60 years down the road in the gyms over there just, doing some curls with some 2.5-pound dumbbells, the colored ones, you know. They got the purple, pink one, or whatever like that. Just doing curls over in the gym. I'll be pushing about 92, something like that. So I'd just be doing a couple curls and watching the girls, you know. So, but I'd be on the right side of history. I know that for sure. Hey, but I don't want to get too far into all of this. But I will not keep silent on this of everything that's going on in the world today, as we all know, for those who follow me on social media and all my platforms and everything that has transpired since 2016, your boy's been with the movement. And it's funny to see that people are finally catching up now. But back to boxing. So today's rundown that we're going to have, we're going to talk about, I don't know why I said talk, like I was in New York for a second, but we're going to talk about the recap of all last week's events, the Tuesday fights, the Thursday fights, and Saturday. And we're going to break down that, see what's going next and down forward. Then we're going to break down a video that surfaced on social media. I got a hold of it from my boy Eric Kelly. And he so much so decided to post it twice. And I know that wasn't on accident. You know, EK, like, if you know EK, then you know that wasn't on accident. It could have been, but I don't think it was. But we're going to talk about Deontay Wilder, who was getting spoken about around the World Wide Web for his feet and lower half instead of his upper half that we normally talk about with him throwing them fists. So we're going to get to that. And a little bit of looking into what the normal future would be in boxing as far as testing and protocol. Last show we had Dr. MCH over here, and you know, before the show started, I was a little down about Michaela Mayer's positive testing that is happening, which had her not be able to collect your money from fighting for the second time due to testing positive to COVID-19. But that the reason that would be a topic is because it's going to go back to the antibody testing that which could give a false reading for fighters who might not have a fight in the immediate future for some guys who are, say, fighting, you know, next month, next week, or something like that, as Michaela Mayer had tested positive from shedding, which was the body shedding the last remaining of the positive COVID-19 test that she had unknowingly had in February, I believe. So we're going to get to all that stuff, but first things first, let's take it to JP. We're going to go to Southern California, bring it a little different out here, because it's hot. Oh, it's hot, it's hot, it's hot. You know, something about the difference with Central California and Northern California could be easily, or Southern California. Yeah, I guess you throw Northern California in there too. You know, we're like the middle child. Since we're the middle of California, we're like the middle child of California. You know, the baby child will be drowning, or the baby child, the parents will be swimming with the baby child and just keeping them afloat. The middle child's over in the back that they can't see. Barely with his face is the only thing showing from the water as he's drowning. But, you know, he'll be all right. He's a middle child. But I say that because, man, I'm not trying to look at the temperature all week, but I decided to look at it this morning. And, yeah, man, we're going to be in triple digits all week. So God's playground is where I'm going to go to. But for right now, this is like, what did Jim Ross, good old Jim Ross used to call the hell in a cell, the devil's playground. So that's how I feel about Central California right now. We in the devil's playground is what it feels like. So I'm going to take it down to SoCal and see how JP's doing. I know he probably got his flip-flops with socks on and, you know, kicking back up on a lawn chair right now. So let's take it to my brother from Southern California and see what's going on. Inglewood, where my man always has the goods coming from the way. JP, what's going on, bro? Uh-oh, hold up. I think we got a malfunction here for a quick second. Hold on now. All right.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Yo,
bro. You're good now. Yeah, you're good. You're good.
Okay. My bad. But, yeah, we're looking at the low 70s down here. Well, we're going to be a chilly night if I'm predicting the forecast. But boxing news, you know, one thing I thought about, and that's problematic for me here, is that you cannot find boxing. You have to have a subscription at this point to get boxing. You have to have an app. That's strange. You can't even get boxing on is it on ESPN on cable? But, you know, but boxing is kind of hard to get these days. So that's something that boxing needs to address, man, because, to be honest, as far as a cable package, ESPN is not included in any of the cheap packages. We all know we're cutting the cable. We're cutting the cable with cable. so boxing has to find a better way to make itself to us common folk, man. So I'm missing a lot of these fights because I don't have the subscription, and I've cut my cable. So I'm finding that to be a problem. But aside from that, man, we got a lot of rumor mill stuff. We got old Deontay, you know, taking over the boxing world as far as the boxing news goes. And he's, you know, if he moved his hands as fast as he could shake his ass, he might win some rounds. But not a good look, man. And I guess we'll get into some of it. We got a lot of rumors to talk about. I mean, old AB potentially back in the sport. If you're Adrian Broner, you got options galore. You know what I mean? Everybody want an AB check. And one thing, I think we ride old AB hard, but AB has done very well for himself in one regard, and that's not stinking out the joints. No, he doesn't win any fights, but no one's just knocking him out and kicking his ass. And so you're going to get something there every time with old AB. We got some Gary Russell and AB potential news, so I can't wait to talk about some of that kind of stuff. So let's get to it, bro.
Hell yeah. Willa, just let us know whenever you're ready to rock, and we'll be able to get you on in here.
I'm on.
Yeah, shit, man. Oh, you good? Okay, Willa, shit, what's good, man?
Yeah, I'm good, man.
You out there in Houston right now? You ain't moving around, are you?
Yeah, no. I'm out here in someplace called Ozona, Texas, man, out here on the grill, so it might be a little windy, so I'm going to make sure I keep myself muted. But, you know, I don't know what JP's talking about. Boxing is easy to find. It's on ESPN. I mean, you know, if you want to pay $15 a month for cable, you might not be able to get it. But go ahead and pay $22 a month. Get you that ESPN package, man. And, you know, get your game up, man. But boxing, I think it got way better than the first week. It seems like the fights are getting better and better. You know, we got my guy out there twerking, doing things that,
oh man,
you know, that I'm sure older gentlemen have done. You know, we'll talk about it more. We'll talk about it more. I'll explain where I'm coming from. It's not, we're not shaking our ass that fast, but as a father, you probably fake the twerk before, especially if you've got a daughter or some kids. You probably done fake the twerk, but you're not doing it that good and that well. So yeah, we'll talk about that, man. You know, some suspect moves by Wilder, man, and everything that's going down in the rumor mill, man. Like I said, you got, who is Crawford fighting next? Got to talk about that. And, you know, and these top ranked fights, which I think are getting better and better.
Yeah, we're going to talk about all that, man. Especially, it's always like it always seems that we always got to, who's Bud Crawford going to fight next? Or, you know, or Adrian Broner's in the news for, you know, a handful of reasons. So we always got some content when it comes to Adrian Broner and Terrence Crawford to a certain extent when it comes to a sport where, you know, we're not in a slow process right now. Boxing's picking up. But when it comes to some of the bigger names that's going to be involved, like the upper echelons, we're talking top 10, top three, top two with Terrence Crawford, you know, or someone who does regularly good numbers like Adrian Broner. So we're going to get to it, man. But we're going to start off with what's been going on with Top Rank. I got some notes here that I had from some of the fights to start off with. But I guess we could start off with the very first main event that we had on Tuesday with Joshua Greer Jr. The man they call Night Night, Don't Blink, all this stuff. You might have seen this character come down to the ring with a pillow and things like that. And you see some of the flashes that he had and, a lot of promise. But, hey, man, sometimes things happen and, you know, you got to get back to the drawing board when you're a good young fighter. But we're going to talk about how he had an upset loss to Mike Paulina, something like that. Filipino, the guy who had a nice little story. It seems like you always get some of the, oh, shit. Almost start cramping up right now, fellas. Damn, my bad. Let me drink some more water. But, yeah, hey, that was a pretty good and exciting fight that was over on the main event side on Tuesday. And I'm real interested to hear some of the takes with this Greer fella, because in our infamous group message, there was some Willow didn't seem too sure about Greer Jr. and said some things. I don't know. Is this kid showing that he might not be the goods that everybody thought? I don't know. You know, young man, 26 years of age, seems like he had a lot of charisma, has a pretty good residence in the back end from Chicago. You know, when you look at him, you're looking at a shorter fella. We're talking about 5'4", but on the ranking side of it, or the ratings, you know, in the world, you got him ranked number 17 in the United States, ranked number 2 in his position that he's in right now. So you could imagine that one had to go down, or his rankings had to drop down as he took an L over in the bubble at MGM Grand that we had over on the 16th. And we got to talk about that one because upset victory, as one would call it, with Planilla, I believe is how it's pronunciated, ranked number 22 in the world, number 3 in his position as well, which I'm sure he took that from Greer Jr. General Santos City, you know, you get the Manny Pacquiao comparisons anytime you're talking to talking about a fighter from the Philippines. It's just going to happen that way. But hey, yo, Willow, we've seen Greer Jr. get dropped by some pretty open hooks in that fight. And I was pretty surprised that not one point in the fight did Paulina look like he was in any kind of trouble, looked like he was asserting himself as the aggressor, the one more controlled. He had his range the entire fight, and when he was getting the knockdowns that he had, it was just basically getting his range and baiting his range for a counter shot or a shot to follow any kind of throw and punch that was coming from Joshua Greer Jr., and it picked him up a decision in the end. And a big win, very big win. Majority decision for Paulina that, you know, he looked at and had, you know, high praise. Not necessarily patting himself on the back like one gentleman that we are going to speak on later, but, you know, he's looking at it and saying that, you know, it was a stunning fight. You know, it's going to change his life, and it most definitely will. When you're coming from General Santos and you're getting a win like that against a young, hot prospect in the U.S., especially in the U.S., over in the bubble that we had, the Filipino native celebrated his 10th, after his 10-round fight against Joshua Greer Jr., and the MGM Grand Conference Center in Las Vegas, the heavily favored Greer by majority decision and their 120-pound catchweight debut, or catchweight bout, I'm sorry. You've seen Greer go to, you know, he's going to have to go back to the drawing board, and we're going to see how he ends up coming back after this one. You can see a fighter who has potential like Greer most definitely, and sometimes you are just on the wrong side of the decision. But this one was, I think, very clear cut, as we all know. You know, that's a tough one to take. It's one thing if you have a close loss and try to, you know, I should have did this that round, I should have did this in that moment, and who knows, things could have flipped the other way. But this is all out domination, man. Willow, what was your thoughts on this fight? Because as we, I'm gonna look up what the odds were right now. But as everyone knows, Joshua Greer Jr. was a heavily favored winner in this fight. And we had an upset, which will be moving on to bigger and better things for Mike Paulina moving forward after this stunning victory over Joshua Greer Jr. Willa, you didn't seem like you were sold on Greer coming into the fight, but he did, you know, he looked sloppy at certain times. I'm not going to say sloppy, but he just looked outclassed. But he did fight tough, and he did land some good punches in the later part of the fight, but nothing of significance that was going to change any of the judges' mind in the majority decision victory that they gave Mike Paulina against Joshua Greer Jr. Well, what was your thoughts on the fight that it was main event on Tuesday, my man?
Well, I knew, you know, when it comes to Greer Jr., he's a guy, you know, I like to I've seen his last couple of fights. I've liked what I saw, except I knew he was getting hurt, and he was getting hit a lot. He was getting knocked down, and his defense isn't there. And I've never seen Planaya, whatever his name is, fight before. But, you know, looking to the buildup and reading what he was doing, he was knocking everybody out. He was supposed to be fast. He was tough. I had a feeling that this wasn't going to be a good night for Greer. And like you said, man, he was just hitting him with that left hook like it was nobody's business, man. Greer couldn't do anything about it. And I feel sorry for him because he was, I think, ranked number one in the WBO. So both of these guys were going for a title fight, trying to take their status to the next level. And Greer has been, you know, building up, you know, signed the top rank, and he's been on his way up the ladder, man. I think this was his second loss, I believe. I don't think he was an undefeated fighter, but he was coming off of 19 wins in a row, something like that, 19 fight winning streak. So, you know, but that guy, Planaya, whatever his name is, man, we'll just call him Michael. He looked very good in there, man. He was quick. He had a crazy style in there. You know, throwing hooks. His hands were down the whole time.
Yeah, I felt like he was fighting in the southpaw position to start off. I don't know if he changed it or not throughout the fight, but I think he was starting off the southpaw, I think.
Yeah, he had unorthodox style. You know, he had that Roy Jones type of hands down. You know, he's throwing punches from his waist. You know, I think he looked pretty good, man. It was a good debut for him and to the American public. I thought, you know, this is some guy that, even though he's a little dude, it's a guy that I probably want to check out. But yeah, Greer, he's just going to have to go back to the drawing board. Even though I think the fight was very close, I could have had it. I think one Drillich had it a draw, and I could have had it a draw because one of the rounds he got knocked down, I think maybe in the third, he was winning. So it was just a 9-8 round, but you know, I don't know, man. He didn't look too good in the beginning, man. He started off real slow, but once he started, you know, I don't know if it's because Michael was getting tired or, you know, Greer just changed it up. But once he started going inside and fighting him, Polina, Planaya, whatever his name is, he couldn't do nothing with him, man. So, you know, hopefully he gets back on it. You know, two losses ain't gonna kill him. You know, he's a young dude. We've seen Tevin Farmer come out. But, you know, that 19-fight winning streak that he just threw down the drain, that sort of sucks. But, you know, I feel sorry for him. I had a feeling that was going to happen, but I think the odds were Polina was like minus 250, so betting 100 gets you 250. That ain't really, you know, that's a little bit of money. But, you know, I hate to see it happen to him. It was a good fight. Pretty good action most of the fight, and it was a horrible way to go out on you know, your first main event like that for Greer.
Yeah, and I just got it right now. Planaya is the correct pronunciation for this one. Man, you know, he was throwing that hook like it was nobody's business, man. And when you see a fighter getting hit with a hook that goddamn wide that was putting him down, I guess going into the drawing boards, you could look at that and, you know, we would think that you would have a better, you know, a better a sense of awareness when something like that would be coming apart. You know, we all knew that, like, Adrian Broner's we're going to speak on. What was his biggest weakness when he first got exposed by Marcos Maidana that everyone tried to do? And, you know, a lot of people did have success. It was obviously smothering Broner, but it was throwing that big hook over the top of that shoulder roll defense, man. It was getting in there every time. And you would think that something that's so wide coming from a fighter with speed and you know, just having some of the reflexes that they have, the reactionary defense, that wouldn't happen. So I was shocked when I seen Planaya getting those big shots on Greer Jr. You know, that it's crazy to think that a guy like Planaya could just be, you know, a guy that nobody was worried about, looking like, hey, this guy might be the guy that we really need to push looking forward. He's 3 years younger. He's a little bit taller. And, you know, just overall looks like, you know, I mean, it was strange, man. You're looking at the tail of the tape for the fight. You had the last five opponents that Greer had faced and they had an 81% win percentage. And Plania's last five, there was only a 43% of a win percentage. So sometimes you can look at it like, oh, man, he's probably nothing but bums. He's going to get in there with this guy and do it. And this guy's gotten in there with great competition, so he's going to be ready. And you have sometimes just the ball falling flat. Well, do you think, how much do you think of this upset, we want to call it, was due to the fact that this is just strange, man? Like, has it got normal for you a little bit more than when it was the very first time we seen Top Rank with the, you know, in the bubble, so to speak, in the goddamn studio? Do you think sometimes for this scene and the entire venue of it all, and you know, the whole, like, you know, trying to normalize things as much as we can, you think that might have been something that could have got into the psyche of Joshua Greer Jr. to where this is just so much different than I'm so used to in my entire life, where sometimes a hiccup like this would occur?
Man, you know, I don't know, because, you know, unlike some of our, well, one of my favorite fighters, Greer took the L, that he was, you know, that Plania, however you said his name, was the better guy tonight. He didn't make any excuses. And I think he just, you know, he just couldn't see that left hook. You know, it could have to do with him, you know, underestimating his opponent, guy coming from the Philippines, guy he's never heard of, guy he's supposed to beat. But I think, you know, he got knocked down the first round, so that should have woke him up, right? And it really didn't until the third, fourth, and the fourth, fifth, and sixth round. So, you know, I'm not gonna blame it on the audience. And yeah, I'm getting used to it. You know, it's not that big of a deal anymore. And, you know, I think he got used to it after he got knocked down in that first round. You know, no excuses to be made for him. But if I'm a Plania, how do you say his name again?
Yeah, you had it right with it. Plania.
Plania. If I'm Plania, I'm not, you know, his celebration, he was doing a lot of high-pitched squealing and all that. I think that sort of maybe turned.
I knew you were going to bring that up. I knew it.
He's doing high-pitched squealing. I can understand crying and maybe yelling, and you know, but he sounded like a dead cat out there, man. So he needs to straighten that up if he's going to, you know, if he's going to be the man to watch in the, what is that, bantamweight division.
Yeah, hell yeah. Good point. Well taken, man. And I'm gonna take it to JP to get his thoughts on Greer Jr. and what he thinks about what's moving forward. And then I'll just do a quick little recap of the other two fights that had happened right there. As I mentioned earlier, or actually that day, in our infamous group message, I was talking about Juan Torres, Texan native, and Hector Perez, who was also another big underdog in that fight. Even I wouldn't say big, but he is an underdog because it was a fight that no one was really worried about, but it was a you know, fat man that they're trying to push with a nice record. And we'll get down to the some of the other things about that. But JP, I don't know if you caught the fight because of the cable deal that you've been having going on, or you're able to just catch some of the highlights. But watching the fight, you know, I wouldn't, you know, sometimes when you see these lightweight fighters, they're all fast. And sometimes the shots that Plania landed on Greer Jr., the ones that dropped him I'm talking about specifically, you see those punches land quite often with these guys in the lower divisions of weight. And, you know, sometimes those guys just eat it and whoop, 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 keep them going, you know. But these ones were, I mean, it was just very snap with good precision right on the chin that Plania was landing. Greer felt that in the first round and the sixth round, I believe, and led to a pretty good victory. And we might have another guy making his name and making some waves if he just fixes up that high-pitched stuff that Will is talking about. But probably not the best idea for Greer moving forward to come out with that pillow, huh?
You got to be able to back all that up, man, or, you know, it's going to go down kind of like Wilder did, and the question becomes whether you're going to be able to rebound from the seeming shame, whatever shame there is. I mean, you raise the level when you add on to stuff yourself. So, But Greer, a very similar situation to Jaime Munguia, Saddam Ali, and you see these blue-chip-type prospects coming through the ranks, and every now and again,
there's a fork in the road, Erickson Lubin, and we just have to see how they rebound. I don't know if everyone rebounds the same. I did hear Greer's post-fight comments, and, you know, he seemed to be in good sound mind. He seemed to be rationalizing things well. So I think he has a good shot of coming back. Yeah, I think he got a good shot of coming back. He seems like a real sport. But, shit, man, like I say, I didn't really get to see any of them. I've seen the highlights, watched a lot of commentary. And, you know, sometimes when you have a super sharp, orthodox fighter like Greer, it's going to be the guys who are throwing that awkward left hand. You see Mayweather struggle with the wild dudes, Maidana, even Victor Ortiz in that fight for a short period of time. So it's the dudes who are just overly aggressive. It's not the conventional stuff they seem to struggle with. It's the unconventional. The guys who are throwing punches at angles you probably shouldn't be throwing them at. But, you know, this happens for the slick fighter a lot of times. You meet the rough and rugged, rough and tumble guy, and, you know, he just roughs you up. We've seen Lomachenko with Salido. You know, when you're young and you come across this style, it takes some adjustment. It takes a certain depth of fortitude to be able to fight through it, keep to your game plan, even though you may not be able to hurt this guy. You know, and that's another thing. These young fighters come up and they're knocking everyone out. What happens when you can't knock the first guy out? You can't knock him out. So that's what I think happened to Greer. Let me complain real quick one more time. Man, look, boxing got to be more available, man. Look, if cable, like a freaking dinosaur at this sport, at this point is the only way you can be found. You need to be making some a la carte on YouTube or striking a deal with CBS to do where we could do a la carte boxing nights or events or fights, whatever it is. But if I could come up with these things, I don't see why boxing isn't pairing with YouTube or something of the sort. But I feel like the format being on cable is a travesty. So, yeah, man.
Well, I know you didn't get to check out the fight, but it was exactly opposite of what you were saying. Greer, when he got rough and started going in and started showing his balls and going forward, Paulina couldn't do nothing with him. Paulina was fighting more like a, you know, like I said, he had that Roy Jones type of feel, not even Pacquiao. He had his hands down. He's fighting from the outside, and Greer couldn't do nothing with him. So, you know, I think Greer, I think he'll be all right. You know, he showed that he had the heart of a champion. And, you know, he just needs to get his defense right and stop letting the guy hit you with hooks and sleep you and drop you, and he'll be all right. And like I said, I think this is his second loss, so he's taken a loss before. This ain't going to kill him. And he sounds like he has a level head on his shoulder. So I'm looking forward to seeing him bounce back. Also looking forward to seeing what Nia can do, because he's, for those little guys, he's packing a wallop, man. He's packing a wallop.
Yeah. Yeah, he really is, man. And, I mean, good stuff. It's harder, like we talk about with some of these guys who are the lighter weights like that. It's hard to get some of these guys with some pop, but you could definitely see that Polinia has that in him, and he looked pretty good. You know, commentary and things like that, as we were talking about, I listed in my notes real quick before I let Tim Bradley off the hook during the fight with Hector Perez and Juan Torres. You know, Tim Bradley is turning away viewership with his picky commentary, I guess you can call it. You know, if you're the only show in town right now and you're over and your commentator's over here trashing the fight, saying, you know, it's not good, it's sloppy, and just pretty much downplaying it, you know, someone need to have a talking to with Tim Bradley and teach him how viewership and bringing in a crowd works. You don't do that when it's this point in time. Andre Ward, very, very, very smart man, you know, 200 IQ type commentary on that, the Tim Bradley, you know, try to save him a little bit, throw him a lifeline by saying, you know, Tim Bradley's just, you know, super professional, and, you know, he's just a picky guy there, but I'm enjoying it. And that's, you know, when we were talking about the heavyweight fight, Willow, when Perez was fighting Torres, you got some commentary from Tim Bradley that I think he needs to sharpen up on. Just a little things, you know. You know, during the fifth round, I believe, is when he was kind of talking crazy. And that was a pretty entertaining fight. That was a throw-in for the big guys. But, you know, that's just kind of how it is sometimes. And,
yeah, what he said, it was the sloppiest fight he's ever seen.
Yeah, that was a little – I mean, that's a little ridiculous. We've seen some sloppy-ass fights. And that heavyweight fight was not like, you know, I wasn't looking at that fight saying, God damn, this is one of the worst fights I've ever seen in my life. Did you feel that way?
No, no, I was entertained during that fight. Yeah, Bradley, he was being the contrarian, it seemed like, and he was, you know, everything was bad to him. He was trying to point out everything, and like Ward said, he's the grumpy old boxer, wants everybody to be on top of their game. But, yeah, you know, Tim Bradley, he's taking it. He's feeling himself a little bit too much, but, you know, they're still my favorite group when it comes to commentary.
Oh, they're awesome, man. They're awesome. I always loved Tim Bradley, even though, you know, he was hated for the beginning, opening party of his career when he beat Manny Pacquiao. You know, I've always liked Tim Bradley. Met him a few times. Cool dude, man. But that was just, to me, like, you know, when you're trying to bring in a viewership, I guarantee you, you know, Joe Rogan's not. You know, Joe Rogan, like I said, he could have been a fucking car salesman and sold anybody the biggest piece of shit thinking that it's going to be, you know, something great. As he, UFC had a fight where he was like talking to, I was mildly entertained from just Joe Rogan's perspective of it all. He had me thinking I was going to watch Frazier versus Ali when it was two nobodies that I never heard of, but I remember the commentary of it because he reels you in that way. And I just think Tim Bradley did a little bit of a disservice to boxing by being the grumpy old man that he was, for whatever reason it was. I don't know. Maybe he just wasn't having a good day or something like that. You never know. But when there are only shows in fucking town and we don't have live sports like that, I thought he was just doing a disservice to the sport. But I'll leave it at that. I still like Tim Bradley. Great guy, man. But moving along, we're gonna lump these ones in so we could get to the main course. But we had Gable Flores Jr. Gable Flores Jr., a guy that I've also met on the very first credential site that we had over with the Outsiders Boxing Podcast. Good young kid. When I met him, you know, I was with Jose Ramirez at the time, chilling with him for the most part of the night. And, you know, he's this little young guy, man. This young dude over here, man. He's 16 years old when he got signed by Top Rank, as he was known as the youngest ever signed by Top Rank, of Bob Arum, signed as a professional at 16 years of age. Reminds you of somebody from down below, somewhere in Guadalajara, I believe. But, Gavin Flores Jr., he had a fight that he was main eventing. As we slightly mentioned earlier, Jose Pedraza had got taken off due to testing positive for COVID-19, which will also be spoken about during the whole lump sum with Michaela Mayer's testing moving forward and all that good stuff. But I've seen Flores Jr. fight, he's from Stockton, California, and Stockton guys, you know, I'm a little bit closer to that area, and I know people from that area. It's a little different over there, man. It's a little different. A big culture change in California, when, as I say, we're the stepchild, we're the middle child in California, being in the middle. You know, Southern California, that's when you got let's say that's Peyton Manning, you know, and in the middle of California, we're like Cooper Manning, you know, and over on the north side, you got some good fighters from out of the way, like Andre Ward over the difference of the culture. I mean, it's just so odd, like odd though. Off. You see Nate Diaz being one of the most famous fighters from Stockton, and the way Nate Diaz talks, it's kind of like how everyone talks over there, man. I was speaking to some guys from Stockton last week, actually, and I didn't know they were from Stockton until, I mean, I didn't know they were from Stockton, but I knew they were from Stockton just by the way they talk. It's a whole different vibe over there. And, you know, Gable Flores Jr., he had a pretty good performance. He said that he had a lower back injury that was bothering him through every punch that he had landed, probably why he tried to get old boy out of there in the first round, and it looked like he was getting close to it. You know, Gable Flores looked pretty damn good out there, man. Some small flaws in his game, as Seattle Sign was mentioning in our group message, just little things that you could get onto fundamentally. But as he's on his way to, I think he's, let me double check on this one real quick. I believe he's closer to the age of 18 than actually there right now. But, like I said, when I met the kid, he is a little 16-year-old young pup, still looks the same, still in a baby body, you know? And I think that Gable Flores Jr., he's definitely on that, he's on that way to seeing what's next and moving himself up in the rankings. Because when you're looking at Top Rank right now, you're lumping up the young talent that's all in that same circle a lot of them from the Olympics, like the Shakur Stevens and Michaela Mayers of the world, who are like in this, the next generation. And you got to throw Gabriel Flores Jr. in there. After his fight with Ruiz, especially, you know, he's moving on up into 18-0 right now. The 20-year-old lightweight prospect, that's how it feels like, he is still a little 17-year-old to me. But 20 years old, man. So dominated every round and won by a scorecard of 100-89 on all three scorecards. And we all know that he needs to step up in competition. But, Willa, I'm going to take it to you first and ask JP the same. We don't know who he's going to fight next, but he wants all the smoke. This young man is nowhere near a vegan because he wants beef with everybody. He's one of those kind of kids who seems like he'll take it. And he has a sad story involving his mother and all that stuff. And you see, you hear his dad. And, you know, I met his dad before, right before I seen Willa at Staples Center. Last time we had went there, I was talking to him and Jose. And, you know, his dad, you know, he rubs you a little bit the wrong way, to be honest. But, you know, that's just kind of how those Stockton guys are. They're just like, you know, it's like us against the world type of a mentality. And you can tell Gabriel Flores has that mentality in the way he fights. You hear his dad in the corner saying, you know, sharpen up, boy. And, you know, just giving him that, like, you know, my dad calls me boy. He rarely calls me by my name. And when he tells me to do something and calls me boy, that shit pisses me off. But his Gabe before his dad is the same kind of way. And you can see they have a really tight bond. And Gabriel Flores Jr. definitely has a lot of promise to him. So, Willa, I want to know what your take is on the fight, first and foremost, and what you see moving forward for Gabriel Flores Jr.
Well, I think, you know, when we've been talking about these guys that are under 25, under 23 years old, we've been talking about them for the last couple of weeks. You know, you got the Ryan Garcias, you got the Virgil Ortizes, you got the Shakur Stevensons, the Devin Haney's, the Teofimo Lopez. You got these guys. And we never mentioned Gabriel Flores Jr. And he is good.
Mm-hmm.
He is really good. But the difference between all those other guys is that, you know, he's one of the younger guys. I think he's, like I said, I think I just saw he's only 20 years old. But –
yeah, he's 20.
Yeah, but he doesn't, you know, he's very good. He has a lot to, he still has a little that he can step up on, but he just doesn't have the knockouts. And I think that's what, you know, that's what he's missing. You know, Teofimo's knocking people out. Shakur Stevenson, he wasn't knocking people out, but now he is. Devin Haney the same way. You know, most of these guys are giving a little more show. Even Ryan Garcia with the first round's beautiful knockout of his last opponent. But yeah, I think Flores, if he's ready for the big dogs at lightweight, I'm not sure, man. What do you think? Do you think he's ready? I know this is supposed to be your guy, but you never mention him either. But his story is so compelling that, you know, I remember seeing him. I remember, like, okay, yeah, I've seen him fight before. He's good, but he's not really. He's very skilled, but he doesn't seem very special yet, you know. Still a young guy, still a little
mm-hmm.
flabby, you know, still can get his man body. But his story, it reels me in every time, you know, with his mom, and they show, it was probably the same one that they showed his last fight. But that gets me every time. So you're rooting for the guy. And I think, you know, at 18-0, 20 years old, he's got a little more to grow, get his man body in. And I think he'll become the real deal because he's punching. He's punching. He's just, you know, he's got skills. He's got combinations. He's throwing, but he ain't really just sleeping boys like he really needs to be. And I think, you know, maybe it was because his back was hurt because he did have the guy stop early, dropped him early. But, you know, it wasn't a performance that you would want to see from somebody trying to make a claim for themselves, you know, on Thursday night boxing. So, you know, not saying that he didn't do good. He did an excellent job, but he should have made more. It was his chance to make more of an impact, I believe.
I don't think he did it.
But is he ready for the guys, the champions at 130?
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Like, I mean, like I said, I've seen a couple of his fights he's put on. And like you mentioned, he doesn't have that chopped up look, like he ain't chiseled up, you know. But he's, I think, I'm going to look it up for you and I'm going to send it to you. It wasn't his last fight, but the fight before he had had in his hometown of Stockton, he had a pretty vicious one-punch knockout, I think in the second round, I believe. And, you know, that's when it was like, okay, he's probably on his way if he could keep this shit going. I don't know how bad his back was hurting. It's kind of something that you can't really judge on, you know, on a pain scale. So we really don't know. But, you know, to me, he seems like he needs to chill out a little bit, calm down. His cadence and his communication was a little off. You know, that's kind of the same thing. He reminded me of Leo Santa Cruz. When Leo Santa Cruz had lost his first fight and he was just kind of talking like out of breath, but still trying to talk fast at the same time. Like he didn't know how to captivate an audience or just like, hey, I'm talking, you listen, you know, it wasn't something like that. When he was speaking afterwards, he just seemed like, you know, he's just a young guy, man, young guy, the lights are bright and everything's just going so fast for him. He needed to chill out a little bit, but, you know, I like the kid a lot. I think that he's going to, make some big noise moving forward. Now, can he compete with the guys at 130 and down the road go to 135, possibly 140 down? And we're talking like, you know, 2-3 years down the road. Absolutely. I think he's definitely going to be able to get that. I think he will be a world champion. And, you know, he's just, to me, he's trained so hard. I've seen the way his dad works him. And, you know, his dad rides his ass. He reminds me of another Danny Garcia type, man, except him and his dad ain't friendly like that. His dad, they have a relationship, but, you know, his dad has a vicious side to him, and that rubs off on his son, you could tell. So it's a little different, but very similar in a lot of ways. But, hey, since Navarrete has stunk it up on,
hey, hold on.
On
one,
Saturday.
One quick one. It's Thursday, yeah. Is the night where the old, not he wasn't even old, but the white guy beat the up and coming Jewish guy, right? That was on Thursday
yeah.
night, correct?
Yes, that was
correct.
Thursday. Yeah.
Where the Jewish guy, I forgot his name, man. I'm trying to look it up real quick, but
yeah, shout out to the Jewish fighters out there.
Yeah, he got Jewish guy supposed to be the next up and comer. Got signed to top rank. He, you know, one of those Greer moves. He's supposed to come up,
yep.
Fighting the guy nobody's worried about. A guy. From the UFC, even, you know, that's what stung. You know, when I'm on the road, I get that XM radio, so I get to listen to Fight Nation. And there's this guy
that comes on
after Akin Barak, and he was just like, I forgot his name, Luke Taylor or something. I don't know what it is, but he, you know, he was talking a lot of noise. Oh, yeah, boxing, you know, UFC comes in here, gets the boxing win, you know. I'm letting everybody know that you can, you know, talking all that noise, doing that, you know. But he came in there, the Jewish guy, he looked like he was all right, but he just had no defense. You know, he had no defense. And he was a friend. He boxed with Max Shopanov, who died not too long ago. And it looked like the way he was getting beat, it looked like he, you know, he was going to suffer the same thing because I believe he went to the hospital directly afterwards. So, you know, he got
yeah.
his ass whooped by a guy that he had no business in there losing to, man.
Hey, there's been a lot of those upsets, man. Like, I was just talking shit about Navarrete right now, the Mexican that's at 125, I believe, who's highly touted, you know, headlined the fight on Saturday. And he was fighting a guy that I felt so bad for in Lopez because this man was 13-13. They found him on a fucking taco stand. I'm 1,000% certain of it, even though I can't verify that to be confirmed. But, hey, tough little fucking guy, man, going in there with Navarrete, the guy that was just getting pushed so hard. You could tell. In that fight, Navarrete, to me, lost the first 3 rounds. And he ended up getting him out of there in 6. But his sense of urgency in the 6th round compared to the first 5 was so different. Yeah, he got him out of there. He got him out of there. But it nothing special. You see a big, slow, goofy motherfucker who, like, when you're that weight, you should be able to move fast. So Navarrete ain't getting no love from me today. We supposed to think, what'd you say, Willa, in the group? We supposed to think that Shakur Stevenson scared of that guy or don't want to fight that guy? That's a horrible measuring stick if we're gonna try and put Navarrete up there as far as any upper echelon competition. But, I'll leave it at that for right now. I'll leave it at that. We'll just cover the small ones moving up forward. Let's get to the steak and potatoes, man.
Hey, Navarrete is the real deal, man.
Let's be honest, Willa. I could kick his ass.
Hey, that boy's the real deal. Nah, he'll probably sleep you, dog. And he only weighs one. What is he at? 120?
Come on, man. Stop it. Bro,
he's out here
122
pounds.
Slowest punches for me, 126, bro. That's the slowest punches I've ever seen from a guy. Willa, I was watching a fight Saturday, just sitting down, legs crossed, and just arms crossed. Not impressed at all. My boys are all, what's wrong with you? You all right? You okay? Something wrong? I said, this motherfucker right here, this is what's wrong with me, man. This is why boxing, they can't get it right. We're pushing guys like Navarrete, man. This guy, he is not the goods, man. I'm sorry. We can agree to disagree on this one. Shakur Stevens is going to beat his ass in one round if they get in there, which I doubt they want to do that. But I'm going to get to his ass in the beginning. What was that? Hey. What was that song that Deontay Wilder was dancing to? Was that some TLC or some shit? I haven't heard that for a very long time. But I'll never hear that song ever the same again. I'm going to need a JP rant on this one. Because he started off, Uncle JP came in hard. As soon as I asked, how's everything going in Southern California? My man had a one-liner real quick talking about if Deontay Wilder could move his hands the way he shakes his ass. We might got something untouchable. Well, my man EK is the only reason I've seen this first and foremost. It was probably on some other sort of boxing forums, but I try to stay away from those things because a lot of people are just one opinionated talking kind of crazy shit like that. But I'm going to see if I'm not even going to look the video. Fuck that. We're just going to talk about it. So, Deontay Wilder posted a video on his Instagram story, or his Instagram handle, I'm sorry, not story, and he's chilling with his family, enjoying himself. Looks like everything's going all right. He was, had a nice Juneteenth post on Friday where I was talking about the free-ish part that Deontay Wilder had posted free-ish since 1865 in America. And I'm always rocking with Deontay Wilder. Ever since he put Radio Raheem's clown ass in his place till this day, I've always been, ever since then, I've always been critical on Wilder, but I respected the fact that he was always a proud black man in America and would, voice his opinions on certain things. And I just like how Deontay Wilder is a proud individual and, he's a great guy, Got into boxing at 18 to take care of his daughter who had a spinal, issue. I forget what it's called exactly off the top of the head right now. But a video had surfaced. I don't know who had posted it, but it was off an Instagram story. And so I follow my man EK, from over OTG legend, OTG celebrity correspondent, we called him. Owner of the Proud South Box Gym over in the Bronx. He posted a video, two of them, as I said, that got, the first one got 3,962 views. And caption says, this new generation is different. Hashtag shaking my head, hashtag Deontay Wilder, hashtag twerking. And we see Deontay Wilder chilling in some tight jeans. He looks like he's been dancing for a while. He is sweaty as shit. Look like he's just getting out the sixth round. He might just been getting warmed up, loosened up. It don't matter. You could wipe. When players are getting interviews after the game, especially the NBA, they wipe their head with a towel. Boom, they clean. But the next few seconds, sweating, dripping already. That's how Deontay Wilder looked right here. My man does a full on I've seen people say, "Oh, he's with his family twerking. Ain't no big deal. He ain't in the club doing that." But when he finished doing, no pun intended, but when he was done doing his, he started doing the normal twerk, I guess you could call it that. Then he's like, he did the old Billy Mays from the infomercials you would see on the late night ESPN at 11 something, where he says, but wait, there's more. And Deontay Wilder decided to put this bitch in speed bag mode, Floyd Mayweather. Brrr. My man started doing a crazy twerk, and when he finished up, he walked off like he wasn't like turned around at the crowd laughing like, yo, y'all see me goofing off. He walked off like, yeah, I killed that. I killed that. Willa, whose fucking man's is this, bro? Because, yo, I'm looking at it like, we know Tyson Fury. You, me, JP, son, we know Tyson Fury does not need any material to get somebody and put the roast on, you know? My man Tyson Fury must have been a chef since he was 3 years old. He's been roasting people for so long. And you going to give him this material right now? I wonder if I'm Deontay Wilder, which family member I got to look at sideways for posting this shit for me getting the talk of the town. Now, you know, Uncle RC, I started getting my bag. I got to get in investigation mode. I got to find out what's going on. I had to take it to the Twitter sphere. Shout out to NWO Podcast. They got opinions. And I reached out to them about, I think it was about 2 o'clock today about this one. Yeah, we made some pretty decent waves over here. They got a nice following. And, man, it's a lot of the same type of, like, you know, I was showing this video to my boys in Florida. They're not big. They're big on football and bodybuilding. So I saw them this one because they know they're you know, casual boxing fans. And they said, what the fuck? We about to get knocked out again. When he said, we about to get knocked out again, that changed my whole perspective of it. I said, damn, Deontay Wilder is not just doing this to himself. He's doing it to everybody who believes in him. We were over here in a divided country in shambles where you got RC, who knows nothing about NASCAR, rocking with a dude named Bubba Wallace because he's holding it down as the lone black driver in the sport that had a fucking Confederate flag hung up by the rest of the flags all around throughout every venue. That's where we at right now. And you got Deontay Wilder. I mean, hey, I'm trying to get a hold of Kevin Blatt earlier. Normally, if I hit up Kevin Blatt, yeah, yo, what's the word about why Bill Belichick didn't play Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl? This man's got inside sources from the Patriots organization and has always got in-depth information to send me. Ain't heard a peep from him. I go online and see all the Wilder fan base. That ain't him. That can't be him. That's not my bronze mama. Tell me it ain't him. I don't know what Deontay Wilder was thinking doing this. I can tell you right now, I ain't never twerked a goddamn day in my life. Gangsters, we two-step, you know? But at least that's how I was told growing up. That's how I heard. We boogie, you know? But because sometimes you see some of these dances get a little too feminine-like. You see Odell do some things that's a little suspect. You know, hell, you've even seen Adrian Broner, you know, do a little bit, you know, the dancing in his first Premier Boxing Championship showdown against John Molina. That just speaks for itself. For me, though, you know, I was never the biggest Wilder fan, but like I said, I did grow to respect the guy. You know, how could you not? And this one right here just threw me a fucking curveball. Willa, I got to ask you, man, what was your initial thoughts when you seen Deontay Wilder twerking? And a two-part question would be, what is Tyson Fury thinking when he sees this shit, man? The stage is yours.
Well, when I first saw it, I didn't think too much of it. Because, like I said, as a father of super children, you like the clown every now and then. And the old dad twerking is a clown move. So I'm thinking he's drunk. He's clowning for his people. I'm just watching it. I'm not, you know, I'm looking at it from afar. You know, I'm not really right on it. So then, you know, I hear you talking more about it. So I'm like, let me look a little closer. So I look a little closer and I see that he's doing, you know, he's twerking for real. You know, this isn't the old man twerk. He's trying to twerk for real. No homo, you know? And I felt a little embarrassed for him, for himself, you know, very suspect move. But these days, guys are dancing. Everybody's a dancing machine. You know, he's from Alabama. It means he's, you know, they might have a little New Orleans feel. You know, in New Orleans, everybody's twerking. You know, you learn how to twerk. when you're a young baby, everybody's twerking. But then as you grow older, you stop twerking because it's very feminine. But you probably still know how to do it, man. So, you know, at first I didn't know what to think, and then, you know, I just had to put it under, put the water under the bridge, because I watched the whole, like, the whole thing. It was on some YouTube channel, and I watched, like, the him dancing and him talking at the end, and he's still talking that shit that makes me, you know, say, hey, he can slip up, he can get knocked out, he can be twerking, but, you know, he's still my guy at this point in time. Until I see a kiss of man, you know, I'm all right. He's all right with me. I'm not gonna take it as far as you took. I don't even know if you took it that far, you know, on the show, but as far as you were taking it on the text, I'm not gonna take it that far. But you know, that's still my guy. I'm rocking with him. Just hopefully he was probably a little tipsy, but I don't think he drinks. So he's probably just hype, you know. He's twerking. He thought he was doing something. It's just that, you know, everybody has that one friend that does a little too much, thinks he's doing something, but, you know, he thought he did something player, but he was acting the ass. And that's what I think happened. happened
hey, look, man.
He thought he did something.
I ain't trying to
tell you. He thought he was showing people something, but no.
Hey, he was proud of that shit, man. He was real happy about that. That's what I was a little confused about. But I don't know, man. To me, the suspect radar went off, and it's not the first time from what digging up I've came across that Wilder. And I don't know, man. Wilder's just a bootleg guy to me. He's just a strange dude, man. Like, you know, Shug would talk about it all the time. And, you know, I mean, I think Shug was the first person on the show to talk about Wilder was cooning after he had knocked out I can't remember who it was, but he was shucking and jiving after the fight on each corner when he was doing a funny move. I don't know. Why was bootleg good, man? And it was just weird to me to see him doing that. And I just, you know, observed the afterwards. Because we've seen Adrian Broner and Tate Davis do some suspect dancing, but they're laughing afterwards like, yo, we joking. This is like, yo, we goofing off. Deontay Wilder went off like you would think that the man just hit a goddamn home run and he was getting ready to round the fucking bases. That's how proud of his work that he seemed. I'm going to take it to JP because I got to hear what JP thinks about this one. Willa's been a little bit like, you know, it wasn't no big thing, chilling with assignment. Hey, he could be right. But to me, I don't know. My skeptical eyebrow is raised very high right now. JP, with this twerking video that Deontay Wilder, he's twerking better than my girl. Getting lower than my girl. I got a problem with that. I don't like it.
Yeah, man.
I don't want with JP, when you talk about it was a different deal when Anthony Joshua, I want my heavyweight to talk like Mike Tyson. I want my heavyweight champion of America to be a vicious, ruthless killer like Mike Tyson. I couldn't deal with the baddest heavyweight in the planet being a fucking gentleman like Anthony Joshua. It just don't go the right way together. So, JP, with this one right here, what was your initial thoughts about this? And you think Tyson Fury got to be like, yo, this dude is lunch meat now. What was your thoughts about this, man?
Well, you know, man, Deontay's always been kind of cringeworthy. You never know what's coming out his mouth. For me, I mean, like, so some context to it. This apparently came off Deontay's wife's social media, and then Dillian White is the one who sent it out there. Dillian White got a hold of it and, you know, really put him on blast for it. Now, he's clowning with the family, man. Look, I clown with the family. My daughters, you know, they like certain little dance stuff that's, you know, Camp Rock and all these kind of things, and I'll mess around and try to do a little dance move with them and stuff. But you cannot even be my friend. If Deontay Wilder was one of my close homeboys and he broke out into that, dog, we'd have like a serious talk. I'm like, my nigga, why are you moving your butt like that for? Like, he wasn't doing a mock version of it. Look, man, no homo.
Oh,
no. His ass was shaking, man. And no man's body should move like that, in my estimation. you should not even think to contort your body in such ways unless you're intimate with a woman. And, you know, so I'm totally against the look of that. I don't know what got into Deontay. It's not a good look. It looks like, in fact, he has done it before. I believe you can find it online.
Hey, JP,
Deontay,
you be twerking in the bed with your wife?
I might do a mock version of that when I'm getting busy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I might do a little.
Yeah, Will is trying to string it along in there.
You know what? Now, look, man. If that was in the privacy with him and his woman and she thinks that's funny and she gets aroused by it, and maybe it's some type of stripper move, right? Maybe it's one of them fucking black stripper dude moves where they be doing all kind of shit. I don't know. I will say this. Definitely not a good look. Ness at the Boxing Voice, shout out to them. Ness said, you know, Deontay does this all the time in camp. In fact, you can find other footage where he's doing this. So, you know, he's not accustomed to twerking. You could tell by the just by how good he was doing it. It wasn't the first time, man. That actually takes, you know, there's classes, you know, for twerking. And Deontay is doing that shit better than, you know, many of the girls on my timeline. So it's just a terrible look, a bad look for Deontay. He should probably get that one out the repertoire. You know what I mean? If that's one of your go-tos when you're having a good time, let me twerk real quick. Go ahead and just remove that one from the repertoire of, you know, the antics you do when you have a good time, Deontay, because it's pretty damn disgusting, and I don't think anybody's going to forget about it. Yeah, that's what I got to say about that.
Yeah, no, he's giving a lot of ammo to Tyson Fury, and I hate that's what, you know, that was the first thing I thought. It's like, why is he doing this to himself? You know, I didn't think much of the twerking, because like I said, he's with his family, he's clowning, he thinks he's doing something. You know, it just is what it is. But you're giving people like Dillian White, Tyson Fury, the ammo that they need. You know, like you said, it's very cringeworthy. You know, when he talks, even though I've been liking what he's been saying the you know, the last couple of months, you know, he still talks very, you know, it's very troublesome to me to hear him speak live. But he's giving these guys more and more ammo, and Tyson Fury is going to run with this. He's going to be – I haven't seen him post anything yet. Tyson Fury, you really never know with him. Like RC said, he does talk a lot of trash, and but he also is very respectful. He also seems to be like a very respectful guy when he's not talking trash. So you never know which way he's going to go with this. He hasn't posted anything on it, but Dillian White sure has. And, you know, that's a guy that I like, but I don't like. It's a guy that I love to hate, let's say that. You know, I like what he's doing out there. I like that he's talking shit. I like that he's fighting everybody. I don't think he's the best, and I want to see Deontay Wilder knock him out. But he's a guy that's talking shit, and Wilder just gave every shit talker that fights him a, you know, some ammo. But, if he's done it before.
Wilder should not be so good at that. Shouldn't be so good at it.
No, he shouldn't. Unless, like you said, he might be straight. He might have had to strip at one time, man, you know. But like you said, no man should be twerking like that, you know. Like I said, you could do the fake twerk, the dad twerk where, you know, you're not doing anything. Your ass ain't gyrating. And it makes me feel pretty weak that I had to watch that, you know, as I'm talking about it, find myself having to say no homo in my, you know, a lot to myself. And, you know, I don't even like that he made his fans watch that, or his wife did, you know. So hopefully he takes that out of the repertoire.
You got to check your woman, man. This is when wifey done some shit she thought is cute. In every relationship, if you're a stand-up guy, I believe you come through the time where you have to tell your wife, look, for Father's Day, here's what you do. For my birthday, here's the ballpark I need you to work in. Because she has good intentions, but she'll just do shit you don't like for your birthday if you don't tell her. She'll be trying to take you to Disneyland and shit, and you're like, well, I just really want to lay down and eat a hot dog. You know, so this is a learning experience for Deontay. Deontay got to tell her, hey, but, yeah, make sure you run in stuff by me before you release any footage.
Yeah, most definitely. I don't know. Yeah, she set him up. He set himself up. That should have been taken down immediately, you know. But he set himself up doing it while he knew cameras was around, because she filmed the whole thing. And he had a little speech at the end, and, you know, I thought he did a good job. He's presenting himself well, except for the twerking. He's, you know, he's stepping up for the cause. And I like what Wilder's doing. So, like I said, I'm not going to hold this against him. Very cringeworthy, but it's just another feather in the cap for me. RC said he's taking a call real quick, so that might mean he's gone. JP, why don't you talk about topics you want to talk about? The Adrian Broner maybe fighting Gary Russell Jr., you said?
That was one of them. One of them I'm a little more interested is, the Terrence Crawford saga. We got a story today on Boxing News that it could be potentially your Dennis Ugas. And that's one I think we're all hoping for, but just can't see happening. And so the most likely suspect, you know, coming out of the pandemic here has always been Kell Brook. Seems like it'd be the easy fight to make. Has the name notoriety. And shouldn't be asking for a check that's too much to ask for. But what does that do for Bud? You know, do we want to see Bud fighting a guy that was dismantled by Errol Spence and Gennady Golovkin? What does that do for Bud? And I find that Bud's in a particular situation here because out of the guys that we consider the tops in the welterweight division, Bud is obviously the guy that's lacking opposition and has been. And there's a lot of people that want to put him ahead of guys and rank him, you know, some people have him number one pound for pound, let alone the welterweight division. But, you know, Bud isn't fighting the guys. So I think that you're now is that Bud really needs to mix it up here with somebody that we care about. And if it's Kell Brook, I'll watch. But I expect Bud to be able to finish Kell Brook. You have to believe Kell Brook is a broken fighter and hasn't fought at 147 pounds in a long time. Of course, there's Sean Porter possibly in the mix. We're still talking about Errol Spence, which probably isn't going to happen right now. Pretty certain of that. And then there's Pacquiao. So, you know, what do we want to do here? You know, that would be a fantastic fight they could take anywhere overseas. Anywhere you go, people are going to pay to see Manny Pacquiao, especially versus Terrence Crawford. I don't know if you're Manny, if this is considered a cash-out fight for you. I mean, I thought Keith Thurman was going to beat Manny, you know, and we see what happened there. So I'm not 100% sure, you know, the outcome there, and I wouldn't be surprised if Manny and Pacquiao causes them some real problems, but you have to think the advantage will go to Crawford being, you know, a lot younger, bigger, stronger, faster, you may even say in some rounds. So it's going to be interesting to see, but the new guy who's keeping his feather in the cap, so to speak, is Yedinis Ugas. And this is the guy I've been keeping up with on social media too a bit because I just feel like he's a monster that nobody's going to want to fight. He's that Winky Wright, you know, back in his time that guys were avoiding, and every time he got in that ring, he was giving somebody a dogfight. So a lot of potentials out there for old Bud, but he has to do something. You know, 2020, I think the pandemic has given their strategic team some relief in half of a year being gone by without making a move. So maybe they can ride out the rest of the year with the Kell Brook fight and maybe try to look for something in 2021. But still, I think that the narrative, the sentiment remains that out of all the guys out of the merry-go-round at welterweight, Terrence is obviously the guy that isn't fighting the competition, and it's just a matter of time before we can keep having him on this status without some proof being in the pudding.
Yeah, you know, I'm a Terrence Crawford guy. He is one of my top guys, my favorite fighters in the game, one of them. And, you know, I usually back up his back up what he's doing. And, you know, I understand that he's the dark horse over there on the other side. Don't have too many other big fights that people don't want to fight us. But if he fights Kell Brook, you know, I'm going to have to defer to what everybody else is saying. Because if I remember it right, when they were talking noise, when him and Errol Spence was talking noise, he was saying, you know, Kell Brook, he was, you know, he's washed, he's done. You know, something of that nature, or maybe in the interview. But I just remember for sure Terrence Crawford saying Kell Brook was done. So for him to fight Kell Brook, he'd be fighting somebody that he's already admitted is done, you know. Unless he fights in front of nobody for the same amount that he would be regularly getting, you know, I'm going to have a problem with it. If he fights him for less money, you know, It doesn't make any sense, but you know it is what it is. I would rather see him fight out of the guys that are in question. I want to see him fight Manny Pacquiao. Like you said, you pick Keith Thurman to win. Me myself, I pick Manny Pacquiao to win. I think Manny Pacquiao is, you know, the second best, probably the second best boxer of our time. Definitely, Roy Jones is up there, but he's up there. Him and Roy are up there, number two. He's had the greatest career, and I think he believes that he can beat these guys. You know, at first he didn't want to fight Crawford. Then I'm hearing, you know, we heard Bob Arum saying that he's getting the fight done. But we're also hearing about Ugas, who gave Porter that hell of a fight. I would love to see that fight too. Anybody but Kell Brook, but that's probably. Well, you said Ugas is what they're reporting, but we're probably going to see Kell Brook, you know, and that's because they want to make the most money when they fight these fights. So unless he fights Manny Pacquiao, which they were saying maybe in China somewhere, but the way this COVID is acting up, people might be shutting down again pretty soon. So we ain't seeing Ugas.
Man, I really think,
more than likely.
I think it's a disservice to Bud at this point of his career. You know, the grooming process, we're done with that years ago at this point. You know, and you've kind of been in this stale spot where you're just on the brink of stardom. But it's just people and their agendas keeping, you know, you could argue that there's people in their agendas that's keeping Terrence in this conversation because obviously the opposition is not there. But, you know, it's a matter of time. It has to happen. I feel like there's a growing sentiment out there. And even those who are on that side of the street, per se, are starting to say the same thing. And if he goes ahead and confirms everyone's understanding here and take the easy way out, which is we consider to be Kell Brook, you know, it'll just be another instance of, you know, some low-risk, high-reward type of payday. And, you know, and people will keep banging the drum for Bud, but to me, it's becoming overwhelmingly obvious that he's the odd man out, and he's no spring chicken. You know, Bud is in his mid-30s, getting close to the mids, if I'm not mistaken. So if you're Bud, you got to start doing something for that legacy. Also, the check. You know, I'm sure these checks are not bad, but there's a lot more money to be made in some big fights.
Yeah, most definitely. I don't know what this is. What happened?
So you going in and out. Let me see.
Oh, my bad.
I got it.
Yeah, I was saying, yeah, but I'm going to find a way to see if I can grow some of this.
Willie, you got a bad reception, man. You got a bad one. Let me jump in.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, Willie got a bad reception. Another topic from the rumor mill, of course, that we'll cover is Adrian Broner and his options. You know, funny thing about old AB is that AB does have plenty of options. There's plenty of guys out there who could use an AB fight, right? We'd watch that. Mikey Garcia rematch. We'd watch that. Keith Thurman. You know, there's plenty fights for old AB out there. And the one of the new ones that's been thrown into the hat today is Gary Russell Jr., another guy who's having trouble finding a dance partner. Down there at 126, I believe Gary Russell is one of the longest reigning champions in boxing. And still, you know, you don't seem to hear a lot of people calling his name. You hear Gary saying names, but they don't seem to say Gary's name in response, at least in my estimation. I could be wrong. But Gary said he'd go up there and get with AB. Now, I don't see how this fight could happen at any weight either guy could make. I don't know that Broner can even make 140 at this point. The biggest Russell could possibly go is something like 133. So I just don't think it could happen just because of the weight difference. And that'd be Russell going up and fighting a much bigger guy. But that's been kind of the story of Broner's career. Question, if Broner would have stayed at a smaller weight, could he have been more effective? What he's done out here, and he's gone and got the money, he's got the bag, but, you know, he's taking some beatings in that ring where he's just holding his hands up and being defensive. And many would say because he's just fighting bigger guys bigger than he should be fighting. And that would probably be the likely outcome if Russell were to try to get that fight. But if you're Broner, you got to get back in the ring. There's still, a lot of people that want to see you fight. Those numbers don't lie. I think the numbers that Adrian does, you know, they speak for themselves. Guy's formidable. He's one win away, still a win away to be right back in the conversation. And, it'd be great for boxing, man. And me also, just as a fan, if, you know, somehow, some way we could just get that Broner we've always felt that was in there, if he just let it go. You know, if we could just get that guy, and it'd be great for boxing and also his career, but the saga continues. I don't see why we can't see Crawford Broner. I think the money's too big. You know, that fight have to be pay-per-view, and it's not pay-per-view worthy. So, you know, Broner, lots of guys out there who can get in the mix. I think right now we're trying to figure out who we can get a W with Broner. That'd be great for PBC and, you know, just going forward in that division, getting Broner a W here by somebody with an actual post would be a good situation. But as we've seen, that proves to be an issue. So, saga continues. Who will be AB's next opponent, Willis?
Man, I'm not sure. Adrian Broner, he's on IG talking noise, talking about how he's, he's done boxing. He's a rapper now. He's doing skits in restaurants and stuff like that. So I don't know who AB is going to fight. AB always has a special place in my heart, you know, guy that I like, the guy that I want to see do good. So, you know, fight or not, I don't, AB's still my guy. But as far as him fighting Gary Russell Jr., Gary Russell Jr. has been doing a lot of shit talking the last 2 years, ever since he embarrassed himself, the USA, and all Black America by going in there and looking like a skilled bum against Lomachenko. But ever since then, he's been whooping boys' ass, and he's been making me a believer again. And this guy, you know, when you watch his interviews, he talks a lot of shit. He says he's willing to fight anybody. It don't matter what weight. I think he's saying he's walking around at like 142 or something like that. Maybe. He may have said 132. But it's either 142, 132. You know, he can get to 138. He fight Broner at 142. I think it'll be a good fight that, you know, hopefully Broner would win. But it ain't going to happen. Broner is asking for, I think, $10 million for his next fight. I think, you know, like you said, he's done very well for himself, even though he turned down, I think, $30 million from Jay-Z, which he would have, you know, he would have been doing his thing there. But seems like he ain't hurting for money. So I don't know if we're going to see him fight anybody. And if he does, he needs to fight at 140. You know, welterweights are too big for him. Needs to fight at 140. Maybe he can fight, what's my man's name? Ruggaroo. What's the Ruggaroo's name? I got it.
Yeah, Regis Prograis. Prograis, yeah.
Yeah, Prograis, yeah.
yeah, they be talking noise to each other, so maybe he can fight him. But Broner, if he's going to fight, it needs to be at 140, and he needs to let his hands go. But that's been the story of Adrian Broner's career, let your hands go. So, you know.
Yeah.
I'm almost done with AB. Yeah. And there's a sliver of hope, but I'm almost done with AB to just say, hey, you know, good career. I think he's a, what, three or four division champ. I think it's four. Not a lot of people can say they did that. So, you know, he's got his way in the history books, and he had a good career if he hangs it up now. But there is still that hope that he's got that two more fights in him.
A sliver of hope, man. We got anything on the calendar upcoming we want to preview, or is that a wrap?
Yeah, no, there's the fights that are on ESPN on Tuesday and Thursday. I think it's some brothers, some small dudes are fighting. Andrew Maloney is fighting on Tuesday, headlining at the MGM Grand. He's fighting Jose Franco. And then Jason Maloney is fighting on Thursday. So these brothers are fighting, two young guys. I think they've been knocking everybody out. But nothing too special. And then Burchell is fighting on Saturday, and we saw exactly what the Saturday fights are in Mexico there. They're going to serve Burchell up a nice carne asada they're going to eat up. So, you know, probably the same type of thing. But it's on ESPN, so you won't be able to check it out for some reason. Even though you got, the whatchamacallit.
What I got?
You got the VIP, don't you?
Oh, fuck, I forgot about VIP. Oh, man, you saved my life. I forgot about VIP. Okay.
Yeah,
we back on.
Yeah, that should be. Yeah, I think that's it, man.
Yes, sir.
RC, everybody wish RC luck. He's talking about getting a job. So, yeah, I'll pray for RC, man. But I think that's where we're going to leave it there, JP.
Sounds good, my brother. Wrap it up.
All right then, man. From Houston to Inglewood to Central Valley. This is Outsiders Boxing Podcast. Represent, doing what like we like to do. And we'll catch y'all next time. Peace.
All right.